And it seems very basic, but it's special. It's just gas cards. And I've got 10 of them here. But the reason it's special is because each gas card represents a person. Actually, it represents two persons. Many of you got in our prayer sheets that we give for you to fill out your requests this week. And the prayer focus for this week is for Ivy Women's Center, which is a crisis pregnancy center here in Mentor. And I'm on their prayer list. And this past week, they shared that last month, 63% of the women that came to Ivy Women's Center were from over 30 miles away. And that gas was a significant hindrance for women to come to the center. And so we want to respond with the request they asked for, which was gas cards, to help women be able to get to Ivy Women's Center, to be loved on, to be cared for, to be heard, and to be given guidance and help in a situation of crisis that they find themselves in. And so here's what we want to consider you all to do. We got the ball rolling with 10 of these $20 gas cards. And if this is something that is special to you, that speaks to you, over the next 2 weeks, go ahead and go to wherever you buy gas and just get a $20 gas card and come in this week, either throughout the week or anytime on a Sunday, and just drop them in our offering drop boxes, and we'll make sure to get those to Ivy Women's Center. In 2 weeks, we'll go by, we'll drop them off, and I'd love to just hear a report from them about how ministry has been going, especially how things have been going there over the past couple of weeks. So if this is something that you would like to be a part of and you ever wonder, what can I do tangibly to impact the life of a person, this will impact the life of two persons. And so I hope you'll consider doing that. And as we enter into a time of worship, let us begin with a time of prayer. Lord, we do pray for Ivy Women's Center, for the work that they do there, for the volunteers, for the logistical things that need to be put in place, administrative staff, volunteers. We thank you for the people here at Trinity that go regularly and just clean and make sure the place looks beautiful and presentable for the ladies that come. We pray for the women who are even this week making appointments, for the things that are heavy on their mind and on their heart, and for the people that will be interacting with them and guiding them. And as I met with the director and heard her heart, what's always struck out to me is her desire to see many of these women who come put their hope and their trust in you. And so we pray for that end as well. And God, as we enter into our time of worship today, we celebrate new life that we'll see through baptism. We celebrate the connection and the community that we have through communion. And we celebrate the truth that we're able to hear through your word. And so teach us now, we pray in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Ty. Good morning, everyone. Happy July. Let me read some names to you. Kyra Murphy, Noah Erlinson, Aubrey Leitonen, Faith Green and her uncle, Jeff Kaufman, Austin Golem, Lila Baumbarger, and James Ozinga. These dear ones today are going to demonstrate their allegiance to Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. Before that, they and us will celebrate the sacrifice of our Lord through the bread and cup of communion. Many of them, because they are young ones, 10, 11 years old, this will be the first time they're doing communion as baptized individuals. This is a very important day. In many ways, what their baptism represents is sort of the beginning, the starting line of a race, the Christian race. It's a long one. At times, it's a difficult one. It's a really, really important race. And the text we're about to read applies to all of us, because whether we are in Christ or not, we are running a race. And the words we're about to hear from Jesus' little brother James are pastoral words. They are hard words. They are really important instructions about running the race, the Christian race. Let me read them to you. But in many ways, what he's going to say is, you're either going to run the race as a baptized person or as an unbaptized person. You are either running a race, the race to heaven, or you're running the race to hell. Listen to these words. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that are at war within you? When you ask, you don't even get because your motives are all wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I think those sound like really hard words. Well, in a sense, they are. And I want to apply them to all of us today in the race that we're running. The race that we're running is going to be long. You're either running the race as a baptized person or an unbaptized person. You're either running a race to heaven or you're running a race to hell. He describes that race. He says, you ask and you don't even get, because the reason you don't get it is that you're trying to get everything for your own pleasures. The word for pleasure there in the Greek language is the same word that we have in English for the word for hedonism. And in some ways, he's going to say that the focus of the life of whichever race you're running on is either the focus of hedonism or the focus of baptism. The focus of hedonism, it's the world we live in today. Hedonism is you do whatever you feel like, do whatever seems right. Do you is what you hear all the time. If it seems right, do you. That's the life of hedonism. The life of baptism is do Christ. You don't just do what feels right, you do what Christ says is right. Don't just do you, life of hedonism, do Christ. And then he calls them that really hard word. He says, you adulterers, don't you know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? What's an adulterer? That's someone that cheats in their marriage. My wife and I have been married 42 years. We've worked hard at it, and it's not perfect, but one of the things that we've determined that we would do is to stay faithful in those 42 years. The race to heaven is all about a relationship, and it's all about a relationship with God. And through Christ, God wants that relationship to be a relationship of faithfulness, of never cheating, of intimacy. We live in a day where there's open marriage. You can do whatever you want. Your race is either going to be a race of commitment to your relationship with Christ, or it's going to be a relationship of convenience. When it works, you'll do it. When it doesn't work, let's just do what I please. Every one of us is running a race. It is a race of the baptized or of the unbaptized. It is a race to heaven or a race to hell. And James now is going to give us seven words, seven instructions that I think we will find helpful as we run this race. Here's the first one. Who's your friend? Who's your friend? If you know a runner, most runners run with somebody. Who do you run with? I've never been much of a runner, I'll just tell you that. For me, running has always been a means, not an end. Oh, there's the ball. Let me go run and hit it. That's my relationship with running. Well, when I used to play tennis, our tennis coach one year decided that it would be good for all the tennis players to join the cross-country team. Talk about the race to hell. All right, I'm going to join the cross-country team. My race partner, we had to run in the neighborhoods to get in shape. So my running partner was a guy named Howie. Howie was sort of the class clown. Well, the cool thing was, and you had to run miles and miles and miles, on the race route in getting in shape in the neighborhoods was Howie's house. So we'd all run, the whole group of us, we'd run, and then Howie and I would sort of sneak off to the side. We'd go to Howie's house. We would eat Cheetos for about 15 minutes, play pool for a while, and then time it right so that everybody was done with their race, and we would join them again, and we would finish. That was my race partner. Everybody has a partner they race with. Who's your friend? Here's what James writes. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Every one of us in the race that we run say one of two things. We either say to God, I'm your friend, or we say to the world, I'm your friend. And what does he mean by the world? Well, he doesn't mean this created ball we live on, or even the universe. That means God created the world. We are to love the world. We're to be stewards of this world. Our Father made this world. We need to take care of it. We need to love the created world. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean people, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's human beings that Christ died for. We are to love people. What does he mean by the world? By the world, he means, for lack of a better word, the sinful system of narcissism that we live in, where up is down, right is wrong. It's everything that you get advertised in your eyes. It's everything that's pushing you away from God. Don't love that world. Don't let that world be your friend as you run your race. Baptism, in many ways, is a picture of the world that you love. Because God invites us not just to be his friends. He invites us to be in his family. And so when you watch these folks get baptized, what they are being baptized into is they are joining the family of God. God is adopting them through Christ. Any of you, raise your hand. Do anybody have adopted kids? Anybody here adopted? It's a really special experience. To be adopted or to adopt a child is to say, I choose you. And that's what God does for us who are in Christ. God has chosen us. And through the waters of baptism, these folks are demonstrating that they are now not just God's friends, they are in his family. And then we'll all take the bread and cup of communion. If you are a follower of Christ, I have to put that stipulation. God invites us to his table, to his dinner table, as part of the family. So as we run the race, hopefully the race to heaven, the first word that we get from James is, who's your friend? Here's the second word. Submit to God. Submit to God. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, which race you're running, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. What does submit mean? It means to put yourself under somebody else's authority. To submit to God basically means God is God and I'm not. God's like a parent, and good parents give really clear instructions. God gave us the Ten Commandments, not 10 suggestions. They're pretty clear. And so when your mom says, don't touch that, that's hot, she doesn't want you to hurt yourself. God gives us all kinds of commands that he wants us to submit under because he loves us, because he's the one in authority. Submit to God. Remember that he's the one in authority. It's always important to remember who's in authority. In some homes, there's the head of the table. Often it's the dinner table, right? Oftentimes the dad sits there. That's a symbol of the authority of the home. When my wife, Sue, and I were dating for the first time, she brought me to her home to meet her parents. There was a chair. That was her dad's chair. I didn't know it was her dad's chair. I sat in her dad's chair. Everybody around me, including Sue and Sue's mom and her sibling, were acting weird, and I didn't know why they were acting weird. It's because I was sitting in the wrong chair. He asked me what I wanted to drink. I said a root beer. So they gave me the tallest glass of root beer ever. It was like 3 gallons, and it was that glass that sweats. So when they handed me the 3-gallon glass of root beer, And I was sort of nervous meeting my, what I would become my future father-in-law. I had the glass of root beer in my hand. It slipped, and all 3 gallons spilled all over his favorite chair that I still didn't know was his favorite chair. I cleaned up. They cleaned the chair up. We started over again. I sat back in that chair. I'm a slow learner. They asked me, what do you want to drink? I said, let's try another root beer. I'm a really slow learner. They gave me another root beer, another 3 gallon ice-filled glass of root beer. I spilled it again all over the chair. Know who's in authority. Don't sit in God's chair. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. What he's talking about, there are times where you, as you go through life, you'll be tempted. Submit to God, resist the devil. There'll be an opportunity to not tell the truth. And there's a voice inside of you that'll say, you can get away with it. This is the only chance you have to cover up. Go for it. Or the Lord would tell you, the truth will set you free. Submit to God. Resist the devil. There are times where you'll be hurt in life. Someone breaks your heart. Someone divorces you. There's a voice inside of you that will say, stay bitter. Be a bitter person. There's another voice that will say, forgive. Forgive. There'll even be a voice inside of you that says, you know that new kid in school? Be kind to them. They're really nervous. They're really scared. Something else inside you will say, leave them alone. They're a nerd anyway. Oh, no. There'll be something inside of us that says, you know what? Pay forward the drink in the drive-in at Starbucks. Go ahead. Another voice will say, it's a waste of money. You don't even know them. Submit to God. Resist the devil. As you are running your race, if you're running the race to heaven, you will hear all kinds of instructions. Don't do that. Do that. Submit to God. That's part of your race. His third word to us, draw near to God. Don't just run away from the temptation. Don't just run away from sin. Run toward God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. That's the race you're running. Ultimately, the finish line of that race, it's Christ himself. Keep running. Keep running. Look at the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep running toward him. Our tendency is to run away from him, or especially when we mess up, to cower in a corner and think, boy, he's never going to let me back. Oh, no, draw near to God. There's a beautiful story that Jesus told. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. And there is a son who goes to his dad one day and says, you know what? I'm going to cash in. Give me all my money that's mine just so I can leave you. And the dad does it. And he cashes in and he gets his money and he runs. And he goes and lives. He runs on the highway to hell. He's living the hedonistic life until finally he hits rock bottom. You ever meet somebody that's hit rock bottom? Got nowhere to go. And so finally he gets up and he decides, I'm heading back to my father. And as he heads back toward home, gets off the race to hell and back to the race to heaven, he gets back on that track, and his father that's at the other end of the lane comes sprinting to him and gives him a big hug. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Sometimes we don't draw near to God because we don't know how. RP, RP. Remember that. How do I draw near to God? RP, RP. First R, repent. Repent is simply, man, I messed up. Man, I've been on this race to hell for a long time, and I'm really messing up. If you need to repent, do it today. It's basically turning away from the old race and getting back into the new race. That's repentance. First R, repent. Second is prayer. Start your day with prayer. Keep a list of prayers. Whether you're 10 years old or 80 years old, every Sunday we give you those prayer cards to fill out your requests. Fill one out. We'd love to pray for you. We want to know what you're praying about. Have a prayer list. Pray for your loved ones, for your friends. But pray. Maybe memorize the prayers that are in scriptures. Start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Start each day with that prayer. It's filled with all kinds of beauty and meaning. Repent, pray, read. Read your Bible. You want to get close to God? Read what he's written. Start in the book of James. That's where we are. Last week, I encouraged you to start in the book of Proverbs. Whatever day it is of the month, start there. There are 31 Proverbs. Maybe start with the Gospel of Mark if you need a great dosage of Christ. But read, repent, pray, read. Last P, R-P, R-P, people. Be with his people. Jesus would say, where two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst. How do you draw near to God? Be with other people that love God, that know Christ. Third word, draw near to God. Fourth word, wash up. Here's what he says. Clean your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, we learned a lot about germs during COVID, didn't we? We carry them and we don't even know we were carrying them. Now you walk into a bathroom and it says, if you work here, wash your hands. It says it right on the mirror. I always want to scribble, even if you don't work here, wash your hands. Wash up. Delete that post from 6 months ago that you're embarrassed about. Scrub your mind, what you're thinking about. Scrub your tongue if you need to. Change that heart. Wash up. Beautiful words for today. Today is all about baptism. Water is sort of the universal symbol of washing up. And so when we watch these folks get baptized, it's a symbol. It's an outward representation of what God has already done in their hearts and lives. It's a symbol of being washed. And so in a sense, as someone goes under the water, they're exchanging their dirt for Christ's clean. When I'm baptized, I trade my unrighteousness, my sin, for Christ's righteousness. I am being washed. Beautiful picture. Watch it. And yet, this is present tense, by the way, keep on washing up. Keep on cleaning your hands. In other words, as we go through life, even when we're running the race to heaven, there we're going to get dusty, and at times we may even get dirty. Keep on washing your hands. Keep on purifying your heart when it gets dirty. The Apostle John would say, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got to do that on a regular basis. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. As we take communion, one of the preparations of taking communion is repentance, is praying a prayer of confession. See it as washing your hands before you're eating the meal. Wash up, a really important part of running the race to heaven. Be clean, wash up. Don't be silly. Listen to what James says. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy turned to gloom. What a downer he is. No one's inviting him to a party. What's he saying? He's saying no one can have any jokes in church. No, he's not saying that at all. My dad was a physician and he used to drop my brother and I off at church while he would go do his medicine stuff at the hospital, which was across the street from the church. Well, when you put a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old in church alone without a parent, We got yelled at by the priest so many, because we would just start laughing. Anyway, that's not what he's saying. It's okay to laugh in here. It's great to laugh in the Christian life. That's not what he's saying at all. What he's doing in, he's giving these really serious instructions about running this race well. And in a few of the words like wash up, he's even scolding them. And so, okay, I'll talk to the kids for a minute. You know when your parents are scolding you, the last thing they want from you is to be silly. Don't be silly. My brother and I were sitting one day. My dad was a very serious man. He was a surgeon. He never messed with my dad. And he took us to lunch one time because he had some very serious things to say to us. I don't even remember what they were. But there we were sitting at the restaurant having breakfast with my dad. Steve and I sitting across the table from my dad. And he said, we made each other laugh all the time. So my dad is saying these serious words. I laugh when I think about it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his serious words and eating breakfast, he does this volcanic sneeze. I mean, it was just, the whole restaurant shook. Well, when he was done sneezing, there was some scrambled egg on his glasses that he didn't see. And he's trying so hard to be serious to his boy. And we're just busting a gut. And he got so, all I can remember is the scrambled egg and how mad he was at us. In a sense, that's what this is about. When life gets serious, when I'm confronted with my misbehavior and my sin, don't be silly. I need to take my sin as seriously as God does. If I'm running the wrong race, if I'm running the race to hell, God's going to pull out all stops to correct me and get me on the right race. And the last thing I ought to be is silly. That's what he means. If you're laughing about it, turn your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Take your sin as seriously as God does as you run this race. Two more words. Be humble. Be humble. The uniform of the race to hell is in the color of pride. It's all about pride. It's all about me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how great I am. The uniform on the race to heaven is all about humility. The baptized one is the humble one. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In many ways, it's similar to be submissive. It's I have to know my place. I have to be humble. I am before a holy God, and I'm called to love all these people. It's not about me. It's about him, and it's about everybody else. That's life. That's humility. Being humble is not thinking less of myself. It's thinking about myself less. That's what I'm called to do. The hedonistic world is all about me. The race that God wants me on in Christ is all about Christ, and it's all about others. Be humble. Be humble. And then the last word. Don't be that guy. Okay? And here's that guy. Here's what James says. Don't criticize one another. This is how he started the whole passage. Why are you guys fighting with each other? And he's describing the race to hell. It's always filled with fights. Quit criticizing one another. And who are you to judge one another? Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that always has a critical word, that's always trying to pick a fight, that's always a know-it-all, that's always a judge. Don't be that guy. Don't criticize one another. I was watching the Guardians game the other night, and the Guardians pitcher was getting in trouble. And, you know, he was throwing meatball pitches, and they were hitting them all over the yard, and they were beginning to lose, and you could hear the fans. And they were booing and they were yelling. There's a difference between being a critic and a coach. Don't be a critic, be a coach. The fans are all yelling at the pitcher. Ah, you stink. That was the worst curveball ever. My grandmother could have hit that fastball. They're talking to the pitcher. They're criticized. They're yelling at him. Francona comes out, Tito, and you can just see it on his face. This guy's a father. This guy's a kind coach. And he's telling the pitcher, I'm sure he's telling him a little bit of what he was doing wrong, but he was building him up. He was encouraging him. He was being a coach. That's who we ought to be on the race to heaven. Not critics, not fans that are yelling, but coaches that are loving, that are instructing, that are giving encouragement. His last word is, don't be that guy. Don't be the critic. Don't be the judge. Don't be that guy. Stop judging them. Pray for them. Stop yelling at them. Talk to God about them. Don't be that guy. Here's his seven words. Who's your friend? Submit to God. Draw near to God. Wash up. Don't be silly. Be humble. Don't be that guy. Those of you that are being baptized today, you can live the baptized life. You can. God gives you His Spirit to empower you to live it. He gives you the encouragement to help you do better. For all of us that are in Christ, using those instructions, we can all live the baptized life as we run the race to heaven. It's a race course filled with faith and joy. It might be long, it can be really hard, but the finish line is amazing. Keep running it, keep doing it. Start well, some of you. Continue running, some of you. You can do it by God's power and by God's grace. If you're here this morning and that race makes no sense to you, or even living a life for Christ sounds foreign, consider that. Every one of us, our lives are on one plane or another. We're either heading toward destruction and death, or we're heading toward life and hope, and that's the road of Christ. I would encourage you to consider it. He'll be your race director. He is your Lord that will lead you. If I'm running my own race with my own values, I'm only headed to destruction. Consider Christ today. If you're a follower of Christ today and you've never been baptized, we'd love to do it. Watch these guys be baptized today. Let us know. We'll get you in the water as soon as we can. It's a beautiful picture of the old race, the old you. And then you come out. It's the new you, and it's the new race. It's the race to heaven. With those instructions, you can't go wrong. I'm going to pray for us now. And then we are going to do the bread and the cup of communion. And I'm going to ask those of you that are being baptized. I think there's three or four. If you're being baptized in this service, in a moment, I'm going to invite you forward. Myself and Pastor Ty are going to give you the bread of communion and the cup of communion, and we'll take it together, and then you'll go back and get changed. And then the rest of us, while they're getting prepared, the rest of us will do communion, and we will celebrate the Lord's table, and then we will celebrate the baptism of these ones. Okay? Let me pray for us, please. Father, thank you for Christ, who not only gives us life, but instructs us on how to live it and empowers us through His Spirit to do it well. Lord, I thank you for this table of communion that reminds us that He paid the price that we might have life, and that the race that we run could be a race of certainty toward you, toward eternity. Lord, I pray for these being baptized now, that you would be with them, that this would be a marker in their life that they would never forget, that they have chosen their allegiance with Christ. And even though their race might be long, may they remember their start and run faithfully all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.